mention, so glad to have Brother Victor back with us, brother. We're so glad to see you, and I know he's been sick for, I think the last time we saw you was Christmas caroling evening with our young people out, and so, brother, we're so glad you're back, and good to see you again. You smile.
That was a real blessing, Pastor.
Amen. Praise. Amen. We enjoyed it, brother. I think we got blessed. Amen. And so it was a blessing to be able to go. And some of you all remember going for Tug, Christmas caroling, Brother Victor's house, and then over to your neighbor's house, too, I believe. And so that was a big, big blessing. But we're so glad to have you back, brother. Glad you're feeling better. And then we're also glad to have with us this morning Brother Mike Pennison and his wife here with us. Brother Mike will be speaking, preaching for us tonight. And so always look forward to being able to get fed myself. I love preaching. Amen. Preachers love preaching. They like preaching, but they also like to hear preaching. So we're looking forward to having him back with us this evening. And he's over here in town from Ohio. Is that correct, brother? From Ohio. And his son-in-law, John Ensley, and his daughter are helping or serving with Pastor Hughes at East Mesa Baptist. There in Mesa, so most of y'all know who Brother Hughes is in East Mesa, so we're glad the work that they're doing there, brother. I know they've been a blessing to Brother Hughes and been a big help there in the ministry, so we're so thankful for that. Let's take our Bibles, if you would, go with us to the book of Genesis chapter 35, Genesis chapter 35, and we're going to preach until the Lord says stop or my voice holds up, is either or, amen. So pray that I have a strong voice, or you might be praying I don't. I don't know. It just depends on where you're at this morning, I reckon. But we are so glad, seriously, to be back. Glad to see you all back. Thank you, son. And get back into regular routine. I just was really awkward not having in-person services, not having school, and all those kind of things. But we're so glad. If you found your place there in Genesis 35, would you stand in reading of the Word of God? Genesis chapter 35, and let's begin reading in verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise, and go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their land, and their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. And so Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because their God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. And the name of the place was Elon Bekuth. And God appeared unto Jacob again, and when he came out of Padan Aram, and blessed him. And God said unto Jacob, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful again, Lord, for the privilege to be back in your house today. And Lord, I pray now and ask for the next few moments, if you would minimize distractions, Lord, that we may focus on the word and the message that you've laid upon our heart. God, I pray that, Lord, that you would open up our minds and our hearts to receive the word. God, I pray that you would challenge hearts, strengthen, encourage Christians. And Lord, most of all, if there's one here that's never come to a saving knowledge of you, that you convict them of their need for salvation. And Lord, we promise to give you the praise and glory for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Amen.
Have you ever ran from something? I get told all the time, most of you know that, of course, with the exception of the last week or two, I try to get in, log regular miles and running. And I've even had people ask me today, say, Brother Jaime, do you know that you don't have to run? Amen. In fact, there's even a scripture out of the book of Proverbs that they use oftentimes, you know, about not running without a purpose or something. Only the wicked flee when no one pursueth, or something of that nature, right? But What I'm trying to say is I think that everybody at some point has probably ran from something, right? Ran away from something, tried to avoid things. You ever known that you had to deal with maybe a difficult situation or even a difficult person? Now, I know nobody around here has ever had to deal with a difficult person before, right? Probably just talking about me. But every now and then we have a difficult person, maybe in your place of business or work or whatever the case is. You have something that you just know that you have to deal with, and it's almost like, let's get it done and get it over with. Or frankly, you just try to avoid it, right? Now, I've just learned by experience that doesn't necessarily solve the problem, right? Sometimes we just have to just address it and deal with it. But what we're looking at here today is something interesting that I read in our study of our passage for this morning. In the last part of verse number 1, it says, the Bible says, that appeared unto thee than when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Essentially, what God is telling Jacob is to go back to Bethel. Go back to Bethel. Now, keep in mind that Bethel, I believe back in chapter 27 of Genesis, is the place where Jacob met God, right? Get back to Bethel. God is telling him to go back there. That's where you were before you decided to run away, to flee from your brother. Of course, we know that at that time there was some tension and animosity in regard to the birthright and all that sort of thing. And so Jacob at one point was afraid for his life, was afraid for his family, and then they fled away from Bethel. He was essentially running away from it. Now God is speaking to him and telling him to go back. Now I want you to, for just a moment with me this morning, church, think with me regarding the place where you met the Lord. Now, you could have met the Lord at home. You could, maybe somebody knocked on your door and shared the gospel with you and showed you what the Bible says about receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you got saved, then praise God. But a lot of us got saved at church, right? A lot of us maybe came to church, heard the gospel message preached, and the Lord convicted you of your need for salvation, and you received the Lord as your personal Savior. That was the case with me. I remember the evening that the pastor was preaching. It wasn't even the main subject, but he made a point on hell. And I just determined that day that that's where I was going, but I didn't want to go there. I already knew what I needed to do, and I came down to the altar and received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now, that place, is in Lebanon Junction, Kentucky, so I'm not literally talking about going there today. But what I am concerned about today, church, is that we have gotten away from some things. We have started being less maybe as enthusiastic about the things of God that maybe at one time we were. And what I believe that God wants us to do today is go back to Bethel in a spiritual sense, maybe not literally to the place where you got saved, but the place that you were spiritually speaking when God saved your soul. Now, I will tell you, friend, it's easy to get away from. And oftentimes it's not even in our effort to try to get away from it or run from it, but the things that we've allowed to come into our lives and influence our lives to get us away from where God really wants us to be. Now, the other thing that we'll see and we'll get to in just a moment, there was other things that came into play when Jacob ran away from where he had met the Lord. We see that it greatly influenced his family by some of the things that he had to do. So the first thing that we see this morning in our passage is Jacob's invitation. Jacob's invitation, he literally has an invitation from God when God said unto Jacob, arise and go to Bethel. One of the things that I want to tell you, friend, that no matter where you're at in life, no matter how far away that you've strayed away from God, hey, friend, all you got to do is turn around and take one step back, and God will forgive you. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness in 1 John 1 and 9. It sort of reminds me, as we said, like the prodigal son when he came to himself, right? When he got to he was in the hog pen of life and everybody deserted him and it finally hit him. Hey, I'm on the wrong track here. I've ran away from home. I've wasted all my substance on righteous living. I'm going to go back to my father, not even ask to be a son, but as one of his hired servants. I'm here to tell you today, friend, that there's a personal invitation from God. No matter how far you've strayed away from the Lord, no matter what has happened in your life, hey, friend, you can always go back. As Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What that is for you, friend, No matter whether you've been saved by the grace of God or we've just strayed away from God, that is a personal invitation to you and to me to get back to the place, spiritually speaking, that God wants us to be. Now, one of the things that my fear that is happening, and I'm not necessarily just referencing here, but I think in a general sense across churches and across America, is that people are literally getting away from church. Do you know how many people out there profess to know the Lord, profess to be Christians, and I'm not saying that they're not saved. I'm not saying that they're on their way to hell. I hope that they did get saved. But what I'm saying is that if you're a child of God, we should have a desire to be in the house of God. Why wouldn't you want to go back to the place where God changed your life and saved your soul for all eternity? Friend, but I think that what's happening today is even simple things like that. You know, one of the fears that we have, just to be honest with you, church, when you close down in-person services for a while, is it gets people out of the habit of coming back to church. It's an actual fear that pastors have. It's not something that we like to do. It's not something that it's an easy decision. In fact, I grieve over making decisions like that, but because of I was literally sick, everybody else was sick, we could not spread the sickness. I've got people that I'm concerned about that are high risk. I'm not trying to pass that on, and so it's just the day that we live in. But it's kind of like you ever get on a good exercise plan or get on a good diet plan? You know the trouble that I have with diets is I got to go on two because one doesn't fill me up, right? But anyway, you get on a plan and then you don't go to the gym for a few days or you get off your diet, you go out of town or you get sick for a few days. Sometimes it's hard to get back, isn't it? I mean, you really got to have a lot of discipline and even devotion to the goal maybe that you have set. It's difficult to get back. You know what I've come to find out, church? The longer you stay away from church, the easier it is to stay away. Right? When you miss church, you start to miss church less. Amen? If we're not where we need to be, where God wants us to be spiritually speaking, friend, we can easily get into a habit and a routine to stay away from the house of God. I'll tell you, church, that the devil, he has a long list of excuses for you. I think I shared with you several months ago, I was out door knocking one day and the fellow said, well, I don't come to church because of peanut butter. And we thought, what in the world is he talking about? He said, that excuse is just as good as the other one, so I'm just using peanut butter as my excuse. In other words, he didn't have a good excuse, so he was just saying it's peanut butter. Right? Friend, that's so true. Now, friends, I'm not trying to be mean and ugly this morning. I missed you guys. I'm trying to be kind and sweet. I'm just trying to help you this morning. But it amazes me that oftentimes we can find every excuse to not go to the house of God and every excuse to miss out on what the Lord's trying to do, but yet we can manage to make every other event in our life. You know that there's hundreds of people at Walmart, right? If that was our fear, then hey, even if you go in the slow time, there's probably still more people than we have here. And I get it, man. We had a confined space. We couldn't be. I get that. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is that oftentimes we just use the littlest things. We make those events. We make all the other events in our lives. I'm just saying, friend, that if we want to be where God wants us to be, then we need to be back to being faithful to the house of God. Amen. I believe that it honors God to be faithful to the house of God. We can't get in on what the Lord's trying to do. We can't get in on the feeding. We can't get a part of the vision that God is trying to do if we're not in God's house. So the invitation Jacob received from the Lord was getting back to where he met the Lord. Can you remember, friend, when you first got saved? Can you remember the zeal that you had? I heard it said before, if there was a time in your life where you were closer to the Lord than you are now, then what has spiritually happened to you is that you've backslidden or you've slidden back, right? That means that at one time we were closer to the Lord than we are now, then something is probably wrong, church. Amen? Something probably we need to take some time and get alone with God and ask God to show us, Lord, show me what's not right in my life. Lord, show me the wickedness, the sin in my own personal life. But God said unto Jacob, arise and go to Bethel. Don't you agree today, church, that we need to get back to where God wants us to be? Don't you agree that there's some things maybe we've been lax on? Don't you agree that maybe there's some things that we've just not set as a priority? That's another thing, church, that I want to share with you. What I've come to find out is that when it comes to something that's important, people will make time for it. Right? People say all the time, well, I don't have time to do this. I don't have time. I've just learned, friend, if something matters to you, you will adjust your life. You will change your life. You will reprioritize your schedule. You will make time for what matters to you. If it's important to you, you'll make time for it. Is that not true? Right? So we see Jacob's invitation, and I'm just trying to tell you today, church, that there's an invitation that you have today from the Lord to get back to where God wants you to be. First of all, we've seen Jacob's invitation. Second of all, let's notice Jacob's destination. Jacob's destination. Look there with me in verse 2. And Jacob said unto his household, to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Let us arise and go to Bethel. Let us arise and go to Bethel. After Jacob heard the invitation of God, he really had two choices. He could have chose to ignore God's call. He could have chose to ignore the invitation given by the Lord. He could have chose to say, you know what, God, I'm doing all right over here. You know what, God, I appreciate it, but you know, I don't think that I really need to do that. Or he could have said, you know what, Lord, I agree with you, but let me just get some things settled first in my life, and then I'll get over back to Bethel. You do realize that that's a decision that oftentimes we make. We know there's some things in our life that God wants us to do. We know there's some things in our life that God wants us to change. Or we know that there's some things in our life that God wants us to make right. And we say, Lord, you know, I agree with you. I need to do those things, but I just got to straighten up a few things first. Why don't you get back to where God wants you to be and let Him do the cleaning up? Amen. Why don't you get back to doing what it is that God wants you to do and let God worry about all the other things that need to be sorted out? Since we may have not included Him on those plans in the first place. But you see, friend, Jacob had a decision to make. Ignore or procrastinate or put off what God is saying, and sadly we see it happen all the time. Hey, friend, you do realize that unfortunately there's a lot of good people that'll be burning in hell because they came to the house of God. They heard the Word of God proclaimed. They heard the Word of God preached, and they might have even been convicted. And they said, you know, Lord, that sounds something like good. Or they told the preacher, that sounds like something I ought to do. I ought to get back in church. And then it never happened. And then they died without Christ. And friend, I hate to report to you that they are burning in a devil's hell today because they put it off. We mentioned, I think, King Agrippa a couple weeks ago. You remember, he just procrastinated. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And as far as we know, we don't know that he received the Lord. We don't know that he received Christ. It didn't look like it. He looked like he was just going about his own business. He had other plans. He had other matters that he was trying to attend to. So he had the decision to ignore or to procrastinate or to put off, or he had the decision to obey. As we see here in the Scripture, Jacob chose to be obedient to the Lord. You know what I've come to find out, church? It always works out best that way. It always works out best that way. A lot less heartache when we choose to go ahead and be obedient to what it is the Lord wants us to do. So what I'm saying is that when I say Jacob's invitation and Jacob's destination, he made a decision to pursue and to go after what it is that God told him to do, to go to the place that God told him to do. That was the destination that he made, or the decision that he made for the destination for him and his family. He chose to go after God. And friend, that's the same destination that you and I need today. We need to make the decision. We need to make the choice to get back to where God wants us to be, to get back to pursuing the things of God. We've been allowed ourselves to be distracted. We've allowed ourselves to get away from things of God. We've allowed ourselves to get so busy and caught up in things. We don't read the Word of God. We don't spend time in prayer like we should. And friend, we've got to make a decision today to start pursuing God like we should. And that was the decision that he made, not just for him, but his family. And what a great reminder to us men. Can I tell you something, men? Hey, friend, it ought to be your primary responsibility to make sure your family gets to the house of God. Now, I'm not trying to minimize the work that you ladies do. Hey, my wife ironed my clothes. You should be thankful for that, because I would have just put it on and thought it looks fine. That's not acceptable to my wife, right? She knows I'm standing up here, and some of you be looking at my shirt and my tie and all that. Right? I appreciate that. So I'm not saying that the ladies don't contribute. I'm just trying to put some responsibility that God has already placed on us men to ensure that your family gets to the house of God. You know what I've come to find out, man? If you make church a priority, your family will make church a priority. My kids never question where we're going on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. It's not a question. It's more of like, oh, I got to hustle up and get ready. I've got one son in particular. Lord, help me. He likes to start getting ready 10 minutes before we go out the door. And he's been doing this all his life. It's not like he's shocked, like I'm just saying, that it's time that we're going to church. I don't know if it's a game that he's playing or if it's a challenge. Let's see if I can cut it off in 10 minutes without frustrating mom and dad because I'm holding them up to get out the door. Right? My family, they know it's true. They're chuckling over here. But you know what, men? What I'm saying is that I don't ever be a question to your children, where are you going? It's church time, we're going to church. Amen. I don't even be a question in their mind. Maybe more of what time we're leaving or things like that. Or what, you know, we're doing a special service. What are we doing? That'd be different. There's no question what we ought to be doing, friend. And I believe that part of the problem is because parents, moms, and dads, if we don't make church a priority, don't expect your kids to make church a priority. Right now, we're begging them, we're begging you, we're begging them to get them into the house of God. And if we don't make church a priority, if we don't pursue the things of God, then years will come down, and then you'll be begging me to help beg them to get back in church. But you know what I've come to find out, friend? At some point, they're going to make their own decision. They're going to make their own choice on whether they're going to go to the house of God. You ever heard that what this generation does in moderation, the next generation does in excess? If church was already low priority for us, it's going to be even less of a priority for them as they start to grow. And I'm well aware of the fact that even then, sometimes, unfortunately, kids still stray away. I understand that. I'm well aware of that, friend. You ought to pray my kids stay faithful to the house of God. And I'll pray that your kids stay faithful. Don't say, well, we'll just see when yours grow. No, pray for them. Help us out, amen? Pray that they just keep pursuing after God. But friend, there's certainly going to not look at it as much of a priority if we don't make it a priority now. The destination that he chose was to pursue after God. Now, in order to do that, some things had to change. Did you notice there in verse 2, and Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. There's about three things that he said there. First of all, he said, put away the strange gods. Say, well, preacher, we're okay on that. We're not out here worshiping Buddha or anything like that. But let me remind you, friend, that anything you put before the Lord has become an idol to you. Anything that you put ahead of God, it speaks about in Colossians 1:18 that Christ must have the preeminence in our lives. That means he's first in rank or influence in our life. And if there's something that we have exalted above the Lord, then we have essentially made that our idol. And essentially we are worshiping that more than we are worshiping God. So the statement that he made to his family and all that were with him, and I actually appreciate that because he wasn't as concerned what everybody else said, even if they heard what his family was doing. He was saying, hey, look, we're going to get back. We haven't been serving God like we should, but we're going to start changing things right now. Another great reminder to us moms and dads, even if you haven't been living right, hey, you could go ahead and stand up and make a proclamation today. You know what? We've not been doing some things right, kids, and I'm sorry. And yes, sometimes we need to apologize to our kids because we were a bad example. Amen. I've had to go to my children and say, Daddy was sorry. Daddy had an attitude. Hello? Daddy was sorry that you saw that. I'm sorry that I spoke to you like that. I'm sorry that you saw me speak to your mother like that. Hey, friend, sometimes we just have to buckle down and do it. What he's saying to his family here, hey, listen, we've got some things that we need to make right. We need to get over where God wants us to be, but in order to really do what God wants us to do, we got to put away some things. There's some things that we got to get rid of. My kids, of course, we're living in a different day and age because of these things here. The access that kids have and, You know, and we made the decision. We put things off. But because of our schedules, I have a panic to not being able to get a hold of my kids. They know that. They're literally rolling their eyes because they know. Not in a disrespectful way, but they know that Daddy don't like it if he can't get a hold of his kids. You ever thought about how the Lord feels when he's trying to get a hold of us and we're not listening? Just a thought. But Daddy doesn't like it when I can't get a hold of my kids. So, you know, the older ones have a phone, primarily so that we can get a hold of them. But don't think that we don't look at it. Don't think I don't have the passcodes to get into things, folks. Hey, moms and dads, you ought to check it every now and then. Say, well, that's their personal space. Are they living in your home? Some of you teenagers, they get nervous when the preacher starts talking about things like that. Amen. Can we move on to the next point, preacher? Amen. You know, hey, moms and dads, I'm just saying, inspect what you expect. Trust but verify. Amen. Get in there and check things out, right? Hey, the devil likes to creep in. Hey, the devil wants your kids sometimes more than I think we do. He wants to destroy their lives. Friend, the kids can get hurt. They can get in the wrong conversation with somebody and end up hurt. We got to do everything we can to protect our kids, right? But what I'm saying, friend, getting back to that, we have got to realize that there may be some things that we need to change, maybe some things we need to get rid of, maybe some things that we need to check out, maybe some things that we need to investigate. Any organization, family unit, whatever the case is, if they, even in the business world, if they're successful, they're constantly evaluating themselves. They're constantly checking things out. How can we do things better? How can we streamline this? How can we be more efficient? How can we service our customers better? Right? If they want to be an ongoing successful business. Friend, it's not any different. We need to constantly let the Holy Spirit of God come into our family, come into our own lives, and show us what improvements, what sin, what things need to be changed in our life so that we may better serve the Lord. So he said, put away the strange gods and be clean. There's some things that may just need to be cleaned up in our lives, right? Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. I've come to find out when the closer you get to the Lord, the easier you're able to see your own faults and failures in your own lives, friend. There may be some things in our lives that we need to clean up. And then, of course, you say change your garments. You know, it's interesting. That's just a picture of some changes that God has done on the inside. But nevertheless, friend, he chose to pursue after the things of God. So what we've seen in verse 1, we've seen Jacob's invitation. In verse 2 and part of verse 3, we see Jacob's destination. And the last point that we want to share with you today, or thought that we want to share with you, is Jacob's proclamation. Proclamation. In verse 3, he says, let us arise and go up to Bethel and make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. You know what he's proclaiming here? He's proclaiming who God is and what God has done. You do realize that according to the Word of God that we have a responsibility to teach our children. We have a response. In fact, where it talks about in the book of Judges that there rose up a generation which knew not God nor the works which he had done. You know why they got to that place? Because somebody failed to tell them and proclaim what God had done for them in their life. Hey, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas or whatever place, whatever role that God has called you to be, friend, never stop proclaiming what God has done for you in your life. Never stop telling people what God has done. Let it start with your own family and then go on before then. I mean, there was other people hearing this according to the text that we read besides his own family. Never stop proclaiming what God has done for you. You want to get back to where God wants you to be? You want to get back to Bethel? You want to get back to serving God? You want to get back to having a zeal of God? You know what I've come to find out, friend? When you're excited about the things of God, you talk about the things of God. When something has happened in your life and something you're passionate about and something that you're zealous about, you can't help but tell people. It reminds me of the disciples, and they said, we can't but speak the things which we have seen and heard.
In other words, you can't hold it in. Jesus has saved my soul. I'm on my way to heaven. Let me tell you about everything that God has done for me. I can't hush up about it, friend. I've got to tell people about it. And what he's saying here is part of his proclamation is we're going to go and we're going to do what it is that God has set for us to do. But also I remember he was the God that answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way that I went. When I needed God, he was there for me. You know what? You don't realize how good God is when you get to the place in your life when it seems like nobody's there, but God's there, and then you realize that God was really all you needed in the first place. I'm not saying that people can't be a help. I'm not saying that people can't be an encouragement to you. But when you get to that place when you're rock bottom and you realize that God was there with you the whole time, boy, you really start to love and you start to appreciate that God was with you through it all. I mentioned even in our class today, our subject for today, we've been going through our discipleship, and the subject today was simply overcoming sin. And boy, we know the devil's devices. We know how he works. And one of the things that he loves to do is creep into your mind and start to make you believe that no one cares, or start to make you believe that no one loves you, and start to make you believe that you don't matter. And friend, we know that's a lie from the devil. You matter so much that Jesus died on the cross for you and I. You matter so much that Christ proclaimed himself, what shall profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul, proclaiming that the value of your soul is worth more than all the riches that the world could offer. Yes, friend, you matter to God. You matter to people in this church. You matter to your family. Now, maybe sometimes we don't do the best at showing it. Amen? Sometimes we do a bad job of expressing it, and we're trying to get better at it. But what I'm saying, friend, that's one of the lies of the devil. That's one of the lies of the devil. But Jacob said, hey, you know what? When I really needed God, he was there. He was with me wherever I went. Scripture says he'll never leave us or forsake us. Apostle Paul got into some tight spots. At first, no man stood with me. Only Luke is with me, but the Lord stood with me. Right? He realized that even in some of the places that he went, I mean, goodness gracious, you start to read the book of 2 Corinthians, you'll see some of the problems that the Apostle Paul faced. Shipwrecked, forgotten about, thrown in jail. Like I said not that long ago, when Paul pulled into town, he didn't check out the Holiday Inn Express. He checked out the prison. He knew he'd end up there anyway. Right? I mean, he was abandoned. He was forsaken. Churches stopped supporting him at times. He went hungry at times. He was bitten by snakes. I mean, come on. But he knew the whole time the Lord's with him. He knew at certain places when he was weak. He knew at certain places when he had that old thorn in the flesh that God's response to him is that my grace is sufficient for thee. You know what Jacob's doing? He's proclaiming the goodness of God. You know what helps us to have a good spirit and a good attitude, church? Simply being thankful for what God has done. Simply talking about the goodness of God. And you know what I've come to find out, friend? When we start murmuring and we start complaining and we start thinking that we've got it so bad, what has happened, and everybody goes through rough times. I have them too. My feet are on this earth. I have hard days too. So don't think that I'm trying to tell you that I do this all the time. I'm just telling you I know what's right. I wish I could tell you, church, that I practice this all the time. But I'm saying is that what happens is when we get in that place, it's because we have simply forgotten what God has done for us. We forgot how good we really have it. We forgot how much God has really blessed us. Friend, if God saved our soul and didn't do another thing for us, we're already more blessed than we deserve. We already have enough to stand and say, my cup runneth over, and God has blessed me so much, I don't need any more blessings. Now, God's still gracious and God's still good and God is still blessing you. All I'm saying is that if you've been saved by the grace of God, friend, that's enough to proclaim what God has done for you. But he's done much more than that, hasn't he? You're here. You're well enough to come to church. There's people that wanted to be in church today. that weren't well enough to come to church today. Brother Gary has been trying to get back to church for weeks, and he's laid up in a hospital just having open heart surgery. Don't tell me that, Brother Gary. I know Brother Gary wants to be here. God has blessed you, friend. You're able to say, Pastor, I don't feel good. I know that many of you got health problems. I know that many of you got physical problems, but you are blessed enough to come to the house of God today. Friend, God's been good to you.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad that we live in a country? We still have a sign out front that says Florence Baptist Church that identifies to the community who we are and tells them when we'll be here. There's places around the world, friend, they can't put no sign out. They have to go in a basement and hide out. It's kind of a hush-hush thing and quiet thing to gather. If they find out they're worshiping Jesus, if they find out they got a Bible, they'll come in and try to kill them all or put them all in jail. Friend, that's happening in our world today. You're blessed to be in a country where you can still come to the house of God anytime you want, and yet it's something we take for granted sometimes. Friend, if we want to get back to the Lord wants us to be, we're going to respond to the invitation of God. We're going to have the right destination. In other words, we're going to have to set our sights on Him. You know, you get into a car, and even if you're just going to downtown Phoenix or whether you're going across the country, we live in a day now, you punch in the address or your destination in your phone, and Siri most of the time, not all the time, most of the time tells you which way to go, and usually the quickest way, and sometimes that's not true either. But neither here or there, a destination and a course is laid out before you. Friend, we've got to fix our eyes on Him. We've got to fix our eyes and pursue after Him. And then, of course, the proclamation. We've got to get back to just speaking about the goodness of God and telling people how good God has been to us. Because He's been good to us, church. He's been good to us. Yes, I know we were out for a couple weeks. Yes, I know a lot of our folks are still out. But you know what? God's still been good. We're here. We sang songs. We had Sunday school. I'm always blessed by our class. I get more, they don't know this, but I get more blessed by our discipleship class than I bless them. The fact that they have so much zeal and desire and hunger for the Word of God, friend, that's a blessing to me. God's been good to us, church. God told Jacob, and God said unto Jacob, arise and go to Bethel and dwell there. He said, go there and stay there. Friend, it's one of those things in our Christian life, it's going to be a constant battle. There's always going to be a spiritual warfare. Even when things are going good, go ahead and watch out, because then the devil's going to try to tear it all apart. You see Elijah in one chapter praying fire down from heaven, and then the next chapter he's worried about one Jezebel woman that wants to kill him. Runs and flees away, hides in a cave. Said, God, nobody's with me. And God said, no, you're wrong. I still have a remnant. I've still got thousands there that are on your side. He thought that, but it wasn't true. So here he is with great spiritual victories in one place, and then the very next chapter of his life, he's at an all-time low. I'm just saying, friend, the only reason to be making that statement is constantly be prepared for spiritual warfare. And friend, if we don't think we're in spiritual warfare, then we're in trouble. Then we miss something, because, hey, even one of our passages today, we reminded, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's just waiting for his opportunity, friend, to pounce on you, to destroy you. He's just looking for just any little inch, any little crack that he can creep his way in and come in and get you off track, keep you from pursuing God, keep you from doing what God wants you to do. All I'm saying, friends, is be on guard. So God told him to get back to Bethel, and not just back there, but stay there. And I'll admit, maybe, friend, that's the hard part. When we swallow our pride, it's easy to get back to God, because we go to God and say, Lord, forgive me. You're forgiven. But I'll admit, it's hard to stay there. It's hard to dwell there. Friend, that's why we constantly need a regular feeding of the Word of God. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. That's why we constantly need to be in prayer. That's why you need to pray for me and I need to pray for you. That's why we need to encourage another, provoking one another to love. That's why, friend, we need to be faithful to the house of God. That's why we keep need to pursue after God. We can't let our guard down because the devil's just waiting. Just waiting for the opportunity. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. Ask my son, come. Friend, whatever your need is today, I wish that you just come down and do business with the Lord. I pray that you just come down and give it to Him. Maybe you've got a burden. Maybe God convicted you about something in your life that you need to get back to. Maybe you've got a worry, a care. Can I remind you, friend, the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Friend, I can tell you with all sincerity that I care about you. But ain't nobody care about you like Jesus does. Nobody loves you like He does. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, would you come down and give it to Him today? This is our moment of invitation. Would you go back to Bethel? And would you stay there? Friend, I need help from God. I can't tell you that I always stay there where I should be. I need help. I need the Lord's help. Would you come down and ask God to help you today? Would you come down and ask God to show you what it is in your life that you need to put away, that you need to remove, that you need to clean up? Friend, I may not have no clue. I only see what I see. But you know, friend, God really knows what's going on the inside. If you're here today, friend, and you never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, we want to invite you to come. There's no greater joy that we would have than to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. There's several folks that would love to help you. Take the Bible and show you how you can come to know Christ. Don't let the devil stop you. I appreciate, and I know she don't mind because she shared it, Sister Liz's testimony. She came forward to receive Christ and literally stumbled on their way to receive the Lord. That could have stopped her. She could have said, I need to go check myself and make sure I'm not injured. She said, no, I'm pursuing after the Lord. I'm going to receive Christ today. And she did. And it's changed their family. They're here today, faithful in the house of God. What a powerful testimony. Don't let anything stop you from coming down and receiving Christ if that's you today, friend. Don't be embarrassed. Hey, friend, the Bible says when one sinner repented that there's rejoicing in heaven. And I promise you that there'll be rejoicing in this church too. If that's you today, friend, won't you come? Won't you come and get it settled today? Let us show you how you can come know Christ in a personal way. Whatever your need is, friend. Let me ask this question and we're going to pray. So, Pastor, if I was to die today, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? Preacher, would you pray for me? I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Preacher, I don't know for sure. Would you pray for me? Just slip up your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Slip up your hand. Put it back down. I'll pray for you. Maybe there's someone that will say, Pastor, I've got some things I need to get back to. I've got some things that I need to remove out of my life. I've got some things I need to make right. Would you pray for me? Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. I see those hands. You may put them down. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. I need to get back to Bethel. Thank you. I see that hand. You may put it down. Anybody else before we pray? Thank you. I see that hand. You may put it down. Anybody else? God's speaking to hearts today. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we are again humbled and thankful, Lord, that you've come and met with us today. Lord, I believe that you spoke to hearts today. God, there was several that lifted their hands and, Lord, in a spiritual sense, made the statement that they need to get back to Bethel or make some changes in their life or remove some things in their life. Lord, whatever that need may be, God, I pray that you'd make it real to them, that you'd make it clear to them, that you would speak to their hearts. Lord, that they would follow through. Lord, that they'd be determined to pursue after you. Lord, not let the obstacles, the hindrances, the devil get in the way. God, would you help them in a special way? You know who they are. Lord, maybe there's others that you spoke to today. God, whatever that need may be. Maybe there's some that didn't lift their hand or listen to via live stream. Lord, not sure of their salvation. Pray that you convict them of their need for salvation. Help them realize today is the day of salvation. Lord, we thank you for being so good to us. Help us to leave here with a new proclamation, talking about your goodness and talking about your grace. Lord, let us come and leave here with a thankful heart, Lord, on what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for this church and everyone that's a part of it. Thank you for all those that are able to be here with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, please come back tonight at 5 o'clock. Looking forward to having Brother Mike and his wife back this evening. And we'll let him tell us a little bit more about himself. And looking forward, brother, to what God lays on your heart for us. Amen. God bless you. Have a good afternoon.